Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. We're live on Radio Row. It's all brought to you by our friends at LifeBridge Health Sports Medicine Institute at Foundry Row in Owings Mills. They make athletes feel better. This guy has made me feel badly at various points in my life. Sometimes it's fun to visit with you. It depends on how we did against the Steelers this year. Charlie Batch on Radio Row. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How's everything?
We're all right. I don't know if this is happy times or sad times. I mean, we're here. Tom Brady's there. And so, you know, nobody's happy in Pittsburgh or Baltimore
right
now, right? That's
true. You're absolutely right. And I think when you look back, and it gets frustrating because you're like, wow, we're not there again. So, unfortunately, it's a down off season for a lot for both of us.
Well, all right. So we got our own problems. Give me the, as you see it, assess the Steelers organization top to bottom and where they are, because we're all sort of feeling ourselves here this offseason. And I don't think anybody's convinced this guy's not going to be here again next year.
I know, right? I
think he's older than you, right?
It's unbelievable.
How old are you?
I'm 44 right now.
He is your contemporary in every way, right?
He'll be playing a few more years after that. So it's just unbelievable to see him doing that. But I think when you look back and you look at the Steelers, I think, yeah, there's a lot of concern. Reason being is because 2 years ago, this was a team in the AFC Championship game. Last year, they lost the divisional round. This year, now you don't make the playoffs. So when you look and see where you are, you're not getting any better based off what your record is. So it's frustrating that way. And then, of course, when you have the offseason concerns, what's going on with Le'Veon Bell, what's happening with Antonio Brown, that trio may not be there anymore. So are we looking and seeing that transition into the next trio, James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, because those guys made the Pro Bowl this year. So they just have to figure it out. The problem's not on the offensive side of the ball. The problem is on the defense, and they have to figure it out. And that loss to Ryan Shazier last year, they were not able to recoup that. They tried to go out there, do some things in free agency. It didn't work. They got exposed in the passing game. There are a lot of issues that are going on in Pittsburgh right now.
More turmoil than you – I mean, you grew up there. I mean, so it's a whole different thing, I think, for you, even going back to being a kid, not just being a football player there, but being a member of the Steelers thing. This has been, other than the Ben's problems in Georgia, I'm trying to think of other, like, sort of crazy off-season things where – Bell turns all this money down. Brown can't get along with anybody. People are out to hang the coach. I mean, you know, it's all this stuff going on. And then there's all this Baker Mayfield and Tom Brady. It always feels like the Steelers, we were always shooting up at them.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it feels like maybe they got more problems than we've got for the first time in a long time.
Well, I think when you look back, and it takes me to that November game early on, and the Steelers beat Baltimore in Baltimore. At that point, everybody was talking about firing Harbaugh. And then here you are now.
We spent two months talking about firing Harbaugh, and here we are two months later,
and everybody was now talking about firing Tomlin possibly.
Sure.
And then Harbaugh gets the extension. So it's just amazing what 2 months does, and when one team makes the playoffs and the other one doesn't. So it's just one of those things. Now, are people going to get as intimidated by Baltimore and Pittsburgh heading into this season? I don't know, because now that sexier topic is Cleveland and what's going up there with Baker Mayfield. Is the shift happening? I don't believe it, so I still believe that.
Because we're for Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Right, I don't believe it until they go out there and prove that. So the two top divisions, I think they will rebound. It's always interesting because it seems like the Baltimore and Pittsburgh draft the same. If Baltimore drafts a linebacker, Pittsburgh drafts a linebacker. If Baltimore drafts a quarterback, Pittsburgh drafted a quarterback. So it's just always the two rosters are very similar, and they know that they have to knock each other off, and everybody else is just kind of, oh, yeah, we'll worry about you when we get there.
You mentioned how much things can change in a matter of a couple months. And with that thought in mind, is this situation with Antonio Brown, is that salvageable? I mean, I see the cap figure. It's very prohibitive to trade him or release him based on the dead money. Do you see, I mean, if you had to handicap it right now, what's the percent chance that he's back in Pittsburgh, or has that ship sailed at this point?
Well, I think it's still 50-50, and the story still has to play itself out. The Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, everybody has reached out to Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is the one not returning those phone calls. So he has to have a conversation with the owner. And when they have that conversation, I think they'll work it out. Antonio is back. But he just has to tread lightly. And I say that because you can't pick your destination if you want traded out. The team still has to okay that trade. So he's putting all these things out, especially 49ers.
Man, I don't want to be mean or not. I mean, and you played at a high level. Is he a knucklehead? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, who's going to want him if he's going to be a problem with the coach the next place he is? I mean, we went through that with T.O.
We went through that with T.O., though. Talent, right. People will always take a chance on talent, and they'll think, well, we can fix this guy.
But not everybody will. Not everybody will, though.
Well, I think when you look
lots
at
of teams
and don't, when you don't make their playoff, you're bringing these headaches there, were you the reason that that happened? Yep. And everybody remembers Week 17 when you sat out. So if that happens,
I feel like Antonio Brown was a significant part of the bad things that happened to this team. You don't think about the good things, the 100 catches, and you think about at the end, man, that was an act of selfishness that I don't know that I want to welcome into my building. If I'm already a 9, 10, 11 win team,
no, and I
to think that he's going to be a difference maker, he might be the difference maker broadcasting you on Facebook Live in the middle of a post-game speech when you're literally in the middle of a speech saying don't put stuff on Facebook. I mean,
But I think it depends on a culture in whatever organization you go to. Pittsburgh, they allow that social media.
Yeah.
Think about somebody like last year, James Harrison. He was a social media guy. He goes to New England. He posts a picture of him and Tom Brady. They shut that down right away, and he didn't post for another 3 weeks when he was with the Patriots. So it's just a matter of the culture and what he wants to do. If he wants to better, if you force your way out, now you have to abide by the next organization's rules. So that ultimately will play itself out. When you look to see where Antonio is at in his Steeler football team, remember it's been 10 years since they won a Super Bowl, 2008. 8 years since they've been to a Super Bowl. So with this trio, have they accomplished anything at this point? And at this point, the answer is no, because when you talk about the legacies, people remember, yeah, you're a great player, Pro Bowl player, but did you bring a championship team back? As great as Antonio's been, all the records, people will still remember Hines Ward, because Hines Ward went to the Super Bowl three times,
right,
two Super Bowls, one MVP.
Ben, is that it?
He's the only one on that
Ben's
team.
Ben's the only one left.
Only one left on that team.
Because around our place, we think about that, too, in regard to...
There's only a few left from 2012.
Yeah. Right. You know, once we're six, seven years
gonna
out.
Flacco's going to be gone.
I mean, there's only so much shine left when there's only one guy, two guys, Tomlin as well, walking in the locker room saying, I got a ring. The fans are like, who are the rest of these guys,
correct,
especially in a place like Pittsburgh?
So when you get to that point, now all of a sudden you're saying, okay, we need them. We need that shift to happen. You new guys need to create that legacy in that culture, in that locker room. Have you created that? The answer is no right now in Pittsburgh. They have not, because the expectation, just like it is in Baltimore, you want to go to the Super Bowl and win it. This team has not been there since Antonio Brown's rookie year. In Roy's rookie year, he was only a special teams player.
Sure.
He was not the player who he is now. So those are the things that drive him. Does he feel like maybe that time is now exhausted in Pittsburgh? Obviously, the way that he's speaking, and he feels like he needs a new start. I don't know if that happens. I just don't. But I think when you look at just where this are, the team, fans, they won another championship. And unfortunately, when you look at this season, they're nowhere closer than what they were last year.
Charlie Batch joining us here. We're on Radio Row. All of it brought to you by our friends at Strategic Factory, putting the branding together for everything you're doing. Hats like this, shirts like this, cups like this. Charlie Batch on Radio Row with us. The Ravens, for you, Lamar Jackson, you fear that? We are always talking about, is this sustainable? We know he needs to throw the ball. You know, all of that that
right,
every young quarterback would need to improve. But some thoughts for you on a running quarterback who runs to this level, seeking contact in this league in 2019.
Right. I think the good thing about him, he now has the film that he could watch in this offseason of him running those plays. And, of course, now you're going to get better in the offseason. Yeah, there are going to be some rookie things that happen. That did happen. But the boost of confidence for him, no matter how that playoff game went, Harbaugh stood up and said, this is my guy. When everybody around the country
right?
were clamoring, put Flacco into that second half of the game.
Did you want to see Flacco or not?
No. If you're the starting quarterback, you want to finish what you started. It may not have started great, but maybe he brings that team back and wins. But it didn't happen. But as a quarterback, all you want to do is finish. Now, with that vote of confidence heading into this offseason, he knows the team is his. Now he has to do that work and hold himself accountable to take this the next step from year one to year two.
You were a franchise guy. You were a starter. You were a backup. Joe Flacco, this is his first foray into holding the helmet since Tyler Palko when he was up at Pitt, right?
Right.
Going into – he's perceived as being – washed up, done, but in some quarters, didn't get a chance to play. He had a pretty good first 7-8 weeks till he got banged up.
Right.
I mean, he could be a game changer in a place with a defense like Jacksonville, right? This time next year.
He could be, and I think ultimately it's going to depend on, obviously, what the contract structure is, because when you look at all the quarterbacks around the league who hasn't accomplished as much as he has, making $20 million a year. So you know he's going to want that contractually, but what is the right fit for him? He cannot go into a rebuilding mode and saying, oh, I have 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
It has to be now. When you're at a point of your career, you're saying, I'm playing to win Super Bowls, and he has to figure out a team that fits for him. But I think ultimately he knows he can continue to play. Now it's just a matter of what is the right fit out there. What are the right opportunities, first and foremost, that he can step in and go out there and do the job?
Are you a believer in him?
I'm a believer in him because he's done it. He went out there and had a stretch. Will people look at it consistently and say, well, he's this, this, and that? Well, who am I to say that? Because I didn't accomplish what Joe accomplished. So I know he's capable of going out there and doing it. Now it's just a matter of him getting into whatever position, first and foremost, early to learn that playbook and be able to go out there and perform.
It is strange to think that I think back to week four. I mean, Joe Flacco played lights out football, throwing the ball, throwing Absolutely. Dimes to John Brown down the field. And to think three and a half months
yeah.
later, well, no, forget about the washed up part. He's not the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens anymore.
Correct.
I mean, he's just not. So it's definitely, you talked about it a little bit earlier in our conversation. I'm with you with I'm not there just yet with Cleveland, although it looks like it's finally moving in the right direction. But it's going to be an interesting time because, you know, Ben's not going to go on much longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's closer to the end than the beginning, that's for sure. And, you know, new era here in Baltimore. Who knows with Cleveland? Cincinnati, to me, kind of feel like a mess right now.
It's just when you look at this division over the years, it's always been Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco,
right,
and then everybody else. Now all of a sudden you're seeing that shift where everybody's excited about Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, so the new guys are coming in. It's just one of those things to where, is this a fresh start for this division? Yeah, people are going to get excited about it. So I think it's just, you know, when you go out there and you continue to look and see where this division is at. And right now, ultimately, when you look at comparable to everyone across the roster, Baltimore is the team to beat. And I ultimately think, you know, now Pittsburgh may have slipped underneath Cleveland as far as talent on that roster.
Fascinating offseason in both of these places when you consider the moving parts. The names are Flacco, Suggs, Weddle, Yanda,
right,
Mosley, Brown, you know, all these big names moving around for both. These franchises are going to look a lot different over the next 12 to 24 months.
They definitely will, and that's the part, that's the exciting part that I see, and I think everybody else now has to shift, because when you don't really have to pay your quarterback a bunch of money, now is the time to build your defense around that. Baltimore's in a situation like that. Cleveland's in a situation like that. Pittsburgh won't. Why? Because they have to. They're talking about extending Ben Roethlisberger, so you now know that money is going to be ate up on the cap. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything unfolds when you have huge glaring needs at positions on a lot of different teams.
All right, how much longer do you think Ben plays? I mean, he's talked about retirement. I know Ed Reed for years talked about retirement while wanting a new contract at the same time. But, you know, realistically, how long do you think Ben goes on?
I think he has at least 3 solid seasons left.
Wow.
I mean, this is a guy here, you know, looking at him right now, he threw 5,100 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen. So the way that they've been able to take care of him through the offseason, through training camp, to get him ready for the season has been remarkable when you see the reflections in his numbers, at least from passing yards.
Look, we talked all this toy department, this nonsense football. You do real work in the real world. You do 3 or 4 things, and when Andrew left, she says, I'll let him promote whatever he wants to promote. So let's start with your foundation and all the cool stuff and your legacy for your family and whatnot, because I know you're doing great work out there. I want to give you a chance to promote that.
Yeah, I have my own foundation, which is called Best of the Batch Foundation. We serve 3,800 kids annually throughout the Pittsburgh area. We are now going into our 20th year. So we are excited about that. We're getting ready to expand, and we're building a state-of-the-art educational facility. So we're adding 21,000 square feet to our existing building. So we're excited about the growth and development of the foundation. That's one piece. And then, of course, having the opportunity to work with the former players in the transitional piece that happens is called the trust, and it helps players transition away from the game, whatever that looks like for them, education.
Steelers
career.
In your case, in Pittsburgh.
Steelers in our case, but we try to work with a lot of different former players around the country. So any.
And you got a lot of alums that are from the Pittsburgh area.
Absolutely.
You know, people that go play for the Chiefs or play for, and their home is Pittsburgh.
Correct.
So they come back to your community, maybe not as a Steeler, but as a Players Association alum, right?
Absolutely. So those are things that we're excited about. Players who are transitioning away from it, they can go to playerstrust.com to activate their benefits. So it's just exciting all around to be able to do these type of things. And anybody who wants to follow what I do throughout the year, they actually go to charliebatch.com.
You're a good man, Charlie Batch.
You're
so good, it's a shame you're from Pittsburgh. I always say that, man. We're going to adopt you in, man. Ever throw you out up there, we'll bring you down our
Thank
place.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Give you a crab cake or two. Charlie Batch, you can find his foundation as well. We're on Radio Row. All of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. This is not the Kona blend. They do not serve that down here in Atlanta, but I did bring the cup with me. So you can go get some Western fries, some fried chicken. You know, Luke, you don't have to cook, right? I mean, just pick up the chicken. It's cold out. Everybody's bitching about that. How cold it is, right?
So of course.
And on game day, what goes better on game day than Rofo fried chicken for game day? Right?
I'm imagining right now, and it's making me homesick.
Well, you're going home, right?
Yeah.
You're going to Pizza John's for game day, though, right? That's your.
I think
that's
game
sort
day,
of your
but
go-to,
you know what?
Right?
My flight gets in late Friday night. Some Rofo.
Swing by?
Rofo
no?
on the way home. Maybe
the Rofo on Nursery Road has the best fried chicken. I told Frank Schilling. I told everybody over in Hamden. I said, look, no offense. But when I go to the airport, I go to the – well, I gas up there because it's right by where I park my car. So it's like a brand-new location, big gas pumps, great fried chicken. You know what? We're just going to keep – I'm gonna keep the segment going.
Look at this
man.
Guy.
Look at this. How do
we
go –
got the Steeler out of here. We bring a Raven in
How
now.
Do I go from Charlie Batch to Jamal Lewis? Like I should have put
upgraded.
Them in together. Yeah, we
– You didn't hear me. Now I just sound mean.
Oh no! We're gonna get it, Charlie. We upgraded, all right. We upgraded. That's what we did here. You know, I just making sure that we know. The air's better.
What's
temperature's
up, man?
Better.
What's happening?
The hometown That's of it. The beast himself. Here he is, Jamal
there
Lewis.
Is.
Long as you're not, I don't have to tackle you, or you're not going to run me over. I am always glad to see you. What's going on, man?
Man, nothing much, man. Nothing much. Just up early, enjoying the Super Bowl festivities in my hometown.
Well, I had you on a couple weeks ago, and I know you're doing a lot in the player health space, and you know your own concerns about your health and getting in shape. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. Taking it day by day. That's about it. Chauffeuring these kids around. And
now, tell me your story. So what's your life like right now? What's it look like to be you?
Oh, man. It's busy.
Chauffeuring these
more,
kids.
More with these
You're
kids.
You're an Uber driver.
Yeah, more with the kids than anything else. It's like shuffling them around. My wife keeps me going and keep me moving around and taking the kids here, taking the kids there. They got activities. These kids are just busy, man. They're busier than we ever were.
What do your kids do?
Dance, competitive dance. So it's not just dance, competitive baton, basketball, baseball. My son's an aspiring rapper. So he, so
is he any good? I mean, be honest.
I don't know if it's he's good. I don't listen to that type of music, right? You know, so it's different. It's different now. You know, I grew up with Two Live Crew and NWA. So
yeah.
Thank God he's
That's
not rapping about that.
Right,
you know, but
yeah,
you know,
he
it's
comes
different.
Bringing some Luke, not that Luke, the other Luke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but no, it's fun though. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah, right. It's fun, though. It's fun. It's all good.
I was the Peter Piper of the 1980s. Jamal Lewis is here. We're in Atlanta. So I got to tell you this. You know, my mom's from the South. My mom's from Abbeville, South Carolina. And I got down here early in the morning on Monday. And the first thing I had for breakfast was grits and biscuits, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then I ended Tuesday night with fresh peach ice cream, And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to gain about 100 pounds down here, man. You know, I mean, it's hard. I don't know how Shannon Sharp will come down here and get in shape. Because this is not a place to get in shape. This is a place to get out of shape.
Yeah, he don't go out to eat. He stay in and
Fried
eat,
chicken so. Down here?
Oh, man, it's just all good. Just breakfast. I'm a breakfast guy, too, and I missed it this morning. But I'm going to get it. But breakfast, you know, like any the restaurants here just magnificent. The food is good. You know, good Southern home cooking. If you can fall into a soul food restaurant here, you'll be glad you did.
All right, you got to turn me on to some places down here. What's this mean for the community? You were a kid growing up down here, trying to get in the league, running around Tennessee. You probably were right around the time you were really badly hurt. Was when the Super Bowl happened down here, right? Right around that time frame, right?
Oh yeah, it was 99. I was getting ready for the draft. You know, I was getting for the draft at that time. And I just left school, so I did get out. You know, at that time we had the ice on the ground and all this type of stuff. Yeah, it was pretty bad, but we had a good time. But you
twice
know, this
in your
is
lifetime,
big.
You get the Super Bowl.
Oh, this is
time.
Big. This is big for the city, especially for this area. You know, just being in this area right here. You know, Simpson Road to Martin Luther King to, you know, out where I grew up over here. I grew up probably less than 10 minutes away from here Southwest Atlanta. So, you know, just what it's done and the impact that it's going to bring and what it has done as far as the streets and the sidewalks and it's just changed tremendously since they said that the Super Bowl is even coming here. But even before that, they started, you know, changing things up or whatever and building up the community. But this would be a good economic impact, you know, for the city.
The great Jamal Lewis is here. He's not, I don't have to tackle him. He's not running me over. And Luke does not get much chance to chat with Jamal. So I'm going to let Luke get after, because Luke was sitting in the upper deck when you were mauling people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man, yeah. Jamal, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Ravens this year. That second half of the season, kind of going back to their roots, right? I mean, the last few years, you know, they've run the ball a lot.
This offense.
But, you know, when Lamar Jackson enters for Joe Flacco being hurt, and all of a sudden, the Ravens are running the ball more than anyone in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. You know, he added another addition to the run game. You had Gus Edwards and, you know, it was Dixon. You know,
Kenneth Dixon, yeah.
These, I mean, they was running the ball well, and I think that was what we was used to, because they had good defense. The defense was just outstanding this year, but I just think that, you know, being able to run the ball, it made us more effective, and the addition of Lamar Jackson, you know, running the ball, throwing the ball, and defenses not being able to really prepare, you know, for him. I think that added a lot, you know, for us in making that run at the end of the season.
Do you watch a guy like Lamar and think, man, I wish I could have played with him? Just thinking 11-on-11 in the running game, what he provides. And, I mean, Gus Edwards, he did a heck of a job, but some of the holes just right up the middle, I mean, they were just there.
Yeah, the RPOs and that whole thing was much different than when I played. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, he takes the attention. So anytime as a running back you get the quarterback that can take the attention away from you, mm-hmm. it's always good. You know, it's always good. You know, I would have loved to play with him just because of the attention that he brings.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I know. You know, big story about mental health and how people are feeling and football players. That's a common theme around here for anybody your age to say, how you feeling? And, you know, the story was written. Just some thoughts, a little update for everybody that has concerns, you know, about any ex-player and how you're feeling.
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. You know, I still have my struggles and what I'm dealing with, you know, post-football. But at the same time, I know how to manage it. I know how to, you know, I've been speaking out about, you know, mental health and
well, awareness
depression.
Is the beginning, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's all about. For me, it's therapy, you know, to be able to go out and talk to a group of people about, you know, my issues, how I grew up, what impacted, you know, it wasn't just football that impacted, you know, depression and these things or whatever. It's growing up. It's where you come from. It's how you was raised and the things that you've been through that accumulates. But the concussion piece just makes it settle in and makes you think about it more, you know, and makes it come up. And then, you know, not being out there running the football and scoring touchdowns and hearing, you know, 75,000, 80,000 fans rooting you on, you know, that not being there too, you know, you miss that. But at the same time, you know, I have kids, you know, I have family, you know, and I have those are my cheerleaders now, you know, and those are my fans, you know, so I have a lot to live for and a lot to be thankful for. And I just, like I said, I just take it day by day.
Things you weren't thinking about when you were running the ball with Tennessee, right? Or getting in the league and running guys over and 2,000 yards, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a different It's different 20 years later, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's much different. I'm older now. Think about it, I came in the league, I was 20 years old. Like, in training camp, I couldn't even go grab a beer with my offensive line. But at the same time, you know, I'm older. I'm 39 now, pushing 40, knocking on 40's door. But I feel good. You know, I feel good. And just like I said, just trying to take it day by day and enjoy it and enjoy my kids, you know, their activities and their sports and things they're doing. And just taking it in stride.
The other day, I woke up, and my pal Joe Enoch, every year on January 28th, shares the picture of Stokely catching the touchdown.
Right.
Every year. So we had that. You know, I flew down here, you know, on that day, and I saw it early in the morning. Some thoughts about the championship and thoughts about the legacy. I mean, Coach Billick came by. Coach Mike Smith came by the other day. So many of you, I mean, J.O. will be by later right. on in the week, that are literally still in my life and a part of – you know, you'll always be a part of that. And, and that glues Baltimore to all of you, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You know, coming up to Baltimore and, you know, doing, you know, the appearances and things like that and just the memories. You know, everybody talks about Super Bowl. Everybody talks about Super Bowl. But
as they should.
Yeah, right. But going to that game and being in that game and winning that game, you know, it was big, you know, because we went through a lot, you know, that season. We went through a lot of adversity that season, you know. And we had to regroup. We had to change things around. And thank God that Billick did, you know, and we came to an understanding and we was able to go out and run the football and get the ball to Shannon Sharp and had Trent Dilfer in there and playing great defense, you know. But I was just telling somebody the other day, that was the most memorable moment was Stokely catching that pass and going to score a touchdown, you know. That was like, any time, you know, even when Shannon Sharp caught the ball in the AFC Championship and took it to the house. It took him forever, but at the same time.
I can always hear Ray on the sideline saying, that's it, game's over, they ain't getting to three.
Right? So we already knew when we scored and we didn't have to depend on Stokely's leg, we knew that, you know, we was up by seven. We were good because our defense was going to pin their ears back and they was going to get it, you know.
Jamal Lewis here. We're in his hometown, Atlanta, 10 minutes from home, right?
That's right. That's
what high
right.
school?
I went to Frederick Douglass High School.
Southwest Atlanta.
Southwest Atlanta. Still there. Still hanging on.
All right, man. You got to find me some good food. I want some soul food down here. I want a legit local recommendation. I mean, I don't want the Yelp recommendation. I want the Jamal recommendation is what
hey,
I want.
Hey, that's what's up. Good stuff, man.
Still ready to run us over and feeling good. Hey, man, hang in there, all right?
All right, my man.
Good to see
take
you doing well and
take
smile and take care of those kids.
I need to get some of that coffee y'all got.
Yeah, we're working and working. It's Royal Farms coffee in the cup there. Jamal Lewis, we're live on Radio Row. All of it brought to you by our friends at LifeBridge Health Sports Medicine Institute. Luke and Nestor live from Atlanta. More in the buyatoyota.com. We are WNS.buyatoyota.com. Audio Vault. We are WNST.net. AM 1570 at WNST Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Sports.